Hi, friends! Join us as we dive into the themes, metaphors, and foreshadowing of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We are your hosts, Leah,
Sarah,
Tabby,
and whether you're a new viewer or a longtime fan, welcome to Becoming Buffy.
Hey guys, welcome back to Becoming Buffy. We are talking about the spoilers for Season 5, Episode 16, The Body, as well as Season 5, Episode 17, Forever. Let's talk about Forever first, and we can kind of talk about The Body as we're going along, if you guys have anything to add to that. The notes I have a couple of like random stuff that we can talk about, but I mostly kind of wanted to break it down to individual characters because there were a couple of really big character moments that happened specifically in Forever with Willow deciding to pull out the book for Dawn, which I think we all know where this is going with, you know, Dark Willow arc. But the fact that she did that, I think that's the first time that we've seen Willow intentionally misuse her power, like actually follow through with misusing her power. Like we saw her getting ready to curse Oz, but then she ended up stopping herself. And obviously this is not done maliciously, but this is still a concerning pattern that is moving forward. And obviously we're going to address that later on in season five between her and Tara. But I don't know, what did you guys think about this moment with Willow?
It's interesting watching the show, knowing the end, because they really leave a lot of crumbs for Willow's character. And you really do see it. But when you watch it through the first time, like, you're still watching Willow as, like, season one, two Willow. And obviously, yeah, it is a mistake, but it's like you see the pattern of her being careless with magic. And this episode really reminded me of that episode. Yeah, I'm sure you guys remember it in season six, I think, where Willow drives with Dawn in the car. And yeah, she's like under the influence, mm-hmm, pretty much. And then like wrecked. There's that like whole scene. Yes. And it's like, it's so interesting because Willow becomes this kind of like parental figure for Dawn with Tara. And then like just completely loses her focus when it comes to like, okay, what is appropriate when there's like a kid, you know? But it's very interesting. I completely blocked this scene out of my mind. Like, I forgot it happened. And then I watched it and I was like, oh my gosh, that's like so overt. But like when you're watching it through the first time and you don't know what happens with Willow, it's not. It just seems like kind of like a, oh, whatever. She just wanted her to be happy. But like when you know the show, it's like, oh wow. Like, I didn't realize that they really make it pretty obvious in the earlier seasons.
It's one of the first times we've seen Tara and Willow like kind of at odds too. And you can tell Tara knows something is up, but she doesn't say anything. And you can kind of see Tara mentally shelving that and going, we'll talk about that later. Like, we need to address what's happening right now. And I'm excited to talk about that on the podcast because it's been a while. And I'm excited to see how Tara slowly comes to the realization that she needs to not be in a relationship with Willow anymore. And I think that decision alone, to me, makes Tara one of the strongest characters and also the healthiest character of the show, because I don't know that there was any other, at least Scooby character, that would have broken up with their significant other because it was an unhealthy relationship. Except I would say for Buffy. Buffy breaking up with Spike and Tara breaking up with Willow feels very similar in a lot of ways. So this is, guys, can you believe it? This is actually the last appearance of Giles's apartment on the show. Isn't that so sad?
What?
he's gonna move out in bargaining and we're never gonna see this apartment ever again.
I would have liked some warning.
I know. Surprise. That's actually season sad. Six is coming. Which is a reminder, Giles is also gonna be leaving soon. Guys. I don't want to talk about season six.
I'm more
six.
Giles in season five, to be honest.
Well, no, I was literally about to say, I was like, people might hate me for this, but like in my mind, I feel like a part of Giles dies after season five.
Like, yeah, from the moment he kills Ben.
Season seven.
Yes. I feel like he comes back in season six. And trust me, that's a lit episode when he comes back and he's like,
Daddy Giles.
Yeah, whatever. That's fire. But, like, after that, Giles becomes, like, a shell of himself. Like, we barely see a relationship between... we barely see a relationship between him and Buffy. Everyone goes crazy
later in season seven.
We barely see... But, like, it's not even that he went, like, crazy or something. I think they just... It was lazy writing. Like, they just forgot that they needed to write, like, an actual, like, relationship between him and Buffy. Like... And it's so sad because honestly, by the last season, you're kind of like, kind of wish you'd die. Because then at least you wouldn't be there. Do something,
Giles.
No, for real. It's like, I'd rather you die rather than you freaking side with all the losers and kick Buffy out. Or just in general, like, his character just doesn't, like, you look at season seven character of Giles and season 1, 2, 3. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
No sense.
It's very bizarre. Speaking of last appearances, I know this is such a bummer. This is Angel's last appearance on the show until the penultimate end of the series, the penultimate episode and series finale of Buffy in season 7. Because from here on out, Buffy is going to move to UPN and the WB, having canceled the show, is bitter. And they're like, all right, we're not going to do any more crossovers. So all pretty much Buffy's going to be erased over on the series of Angel. And we're just barely going to talk about Angel over here on Buffy.
But you know what? If Angel's not going to pop up in any season, it would be season 6. And I don't know if I'd really want him to show up in season 6, to be honest.
I just want to see what happened in that one meeting between Buffy and Angel that was off screen.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I just want to know what happened.
How was that also not like pure happiness? How'd he not get associated with it? You know what I mean? Love Your Life comes back from the dead and you see her and it confirms that she's alive again. How are you not having like a pure moment of like...
Because he's with Cordelia at that point, Tabby.
Not really, though.
Please don't make me any more depressed than I need to be this episode.
Oh,
they're,
guys,
like, not at all together during that time. What are you talking about?
No, they're not together at that point. The show is starting to edge them into that. Guys, Leah and I just started season 3 of Angel, and they're already like hardcore.
You guys are so strong.
Yeah, you guys want to come on for an episode?
Season 3 is actually not bad. It's just that side story arc with Angel.
I will die on this hill, and I know people are going to hate me for this. Sorry.
Me, every time I say something, I'm like, don't hate me.
No, but I know that people are going to, because a lot of people ship Cordelia and
people
Angel,
are really,
and that's fine.
Strong with their
However, I will die on the hill that, like, Cordelia, the worst thing for Cordelia's character was to fall in love with Angel.
Yeah, for sure.
And I will die on that hill. It's not even the fact that I'm like, you know, Angel like someone other than Buffy. It's like, no, like, of course that's natural. That's going to happen. Like, and when you work with someone, like, whatever. It's the fact that they needed to change Cordelia to fit what Angel was interested in.
And but it they even changed became, Angel, too.
Yes, it ultimately became a hindrance because Cordelia wasn't the same character. She was a completely different character. And she was a shell of herself. And she just became Angel's love interest. And no one wanted that. Like, people might like it now. But, like, Cordelia was – she was meant to be her own character, not Angel's love interest. And I think that when she became Angel's love interest, she couldn't stand on her own like Buffy could. And I think that's because they took away her personality.
Yeah, they took out what made her unique. They just made her kind of a Buffy 2.0. There was that line that I said in the spoiler-free episode where I talked about how, you know, Buffy and Angel are together. And the script says, and they fall into silence together until the dawn. I wonder if that was written because they were planning on having – and I think I've read somewhere, and I'll look this up before we get to The Gift, but I'm pretty sure they were planning on having an epic crossover for The Gift, and it was supposed to be all of Angel Investigations showing up and stuff. And so I think Angel was going to be there when Buffy died. And so I wonder if this was supposed to be like a little nod to that. But either way, it's kind of sad. Okay, so let's talk about Spike for a second. So we have Spike assisting Dawn in her attempt to resurrect Joyce, which I think is really fun to watch in retrospect after seeing season 7, because Spike kind of did the same thing with his mom, which he should have learned, when he was trying to save his mom from dying from her disease, and he ends up turning her into a vampire, and then his mom comes back wrong. So you would think he would have learned, like, oh my gosh, after that traumatizing like thing where his mom's like talking about having sex with him, you would think he would be like, let's just not like change anybody else's mom. Let's just like let them be dead. But he probably also sympathizes with Dawn in this episode and is like, hey, I know what that feels like. But I just thought that was really interesting. And then I think I mentioned this in the spoiler-free episode as well. And I'm curious about your guys' thoughts. So I felt like this episode showed an interesting shift in the show's depiction of Spike. Several times they talk about how Spike is doing all these things to get in good with Buffy, and yet they have him convey that he's doing it out of place of kindness to kind of contrast that idea that like, oh, you're just doing things because you just want Buffy. Meanwhile, he's, you know, currently creating the sex bot. And the next episode, we're going to have him – this is all setting up for the next episode where we have him be tortured by Glory after revealing the sex bot. And then he doesn't give up the information and Buffy rewards him with a kiss. And that's a very, very – that's the first time we've seen Buffy like approach Spike in a more positive way or a more extreme positive way, I guess I should say, because we've had her talk to him about protecting Dawn and stuff before. So they're setting us up for intervention, but it also feels like they're also setting up the gift when he goes to save Dawn from that lizard guy that we meet in this episode. And I can't help but feel like this episode was kind of an intentional – choice to get people to soften towards him because we have creepy sex bot next episode, which it's fine. He can have layers, but it is a little bit weird and it's a little bit frustrating because it does feel like we're starting to watch a back and forth with how Spike is portrayed from each episode based upon which writer is writing the episode. And like, I know Marty is a huge Spike stan, but it feels like they're intentionally buttering us up for this next episode to kind of lessen the blow when he's yucky again. So I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts? Did you feel that way at all? Or do you feel like this is a natural progression into the rest of the season or the next episode in particular?
I don't know. I think it's the same. It's the same Spike. You know, it's like the action itself may be good, but the intention, whether or not he knows it, is for his own desires. Mm. Like, and I don't even think it's about Buffy in this. I really don't. I think it's he does care for Dawn. And selfishly, he doesn't want her to be in pain. And selfishly also wants to be the one to fix it. And so I think that he's helping her in a similar way that Willow is being selfish. She wants Dawn's pain to go away. So she's making a careless decision. Because she wants her pain to go away so that it makes her feel better. So it's like, it's not something to crucify people for because obviously sure. people go through it. But it is like, and I, like, I'll say this. So the end of like Spike's, you know, whole arc is like, if you look at his intent instead of the action, it makes a whole lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's pretty, I don't know, what's the word? My brain's
thoughtless. Interesting.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. it's interesting. Like, it's, I think that Spike is an interesting character, and but you need to remember, like, okay, well, why is he doing what he's doing?
Are you saying that, like, from here on out, Spike is a different character? Is that what you're saying?
Sorry, maybe I'm not wording it well. So, what I'm trying to say is that I don't mind layers. And I think they're trying to give Spike a little bit of layers to be like, oh, look, he's capable of doing good things now, even if his intentions are bad. But for me, I feel like the show is starting to try and like portray him as a little bit better and like, oh, look, he's changing, which to me feels dishonest. But I'm asking mostly what you think. Do you feel like the show is softening him a little bit based upon like how awful we see him next episode? Or do you feel like this is just the natural progression of the character?
I think people are getting swept up into the romance. I say that in loose terms. rather than
the like, underwear stealing, sex robot making.
Well, no. I'm more so like specifically the next episode that we're going to be recording, which is Intervention. Like,
yeah,
it's like, I'm not trying to like point fingers at anyone. This is, I'm not judging at all. This was me when I first watched it a couple times. This is coming from somebody who like, you, like the first time you watch stuff, sometimes you don't pick up on the manipulation that the show's doing. but like, especially watching episodes like Intervention where it's like, I'll watch like reactors kind of go through, and they're a little bit disgusted with the Buffy bot. But then towards the end, right when like he gets like tortured and doesn't like give up information about Dawn, which is like good for him, but like it's only for like Buffy. And he even says that at the very end. And then like when Buffy kind of like gives him a kiss, all of a sudden like everybody's just like willing to forget everything he's done the past like a few episodes. And I think that's what I'm talking about. I feel like people kind of get like a little bit like, oh, interesting, a little bit of a red flag whenever Spike does something that's like a little bit alarming. But it's always kind of done under this like umbrella of humor. So even when Buffy's being kind of traumatized and tormented by him popping up and like not listening to her nose, he does something funny or something that's like seemingly good. And like Leah said, he could do good actions, but his motivation is elsewhere. Right. So we could be grateful he doesn't give up information about Dawn, but like, would he really do that if it was anyone other than Buffy? Absolutely not. That's not a good person. That's just somebody who wants the attention of somebody else, you know? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. So I don't think he changes. I just think that he kind of gets to a point maybe in season six where it's like the whole like him pining after Buffy, wanting her so bad for like the entirety season five and would do anything for her, quote unquote. And then when he gets her in season six, but doesn't actually have her, even though he would like, he literally has a conversation with Riley in season five where he says, you have the better deal.
Right.
He's like, you have her physically, but you don't have her emotionally. And that's basically what he has in season six.
Exactly.
Too.
And yeah, it's kind of foreshadowing.
He gets mad at it. And then he blames Buffy, even though like, yeah, she's a little bit like, direct with him, a little mean during one scene, but like is it warranted?
Yeah,
like happy. Buffy doesn't owe him anything,
right?
Also, people tend to forget he literally has no soul. Like, as right. much as the writers are confusing us, the lore is still the lore.
Is it,
you know,
though?
What I mean,
is
like,
it
is though. Like, again, it's just under humor, but the lore is still the lore. You have to look at it objectively.
What I'm trying to ask is, and I know this is a sticky question and this is like a hard one to answer, is like, I'm not asking necessarily, do you feel like Spike is changing like actually organically in the show? Do you feel like the writers are thinking, we like this character, we kind of want this character to be with Buffy, we kind of want him to, like, we want him to get the girl, we kind of like want to give him a break, like we think James Marsters is really charming, like we want to give this guy everything because this character is fun. Do you feel like the writers are kind of showing through in this episode, leading us into the next one? Because to me personally, Buffy kissing Spike, I don't know, we're going to talk about it next episode, is out of character. And so when I watch this episode, I feel like the writers are just buttering me up. So I guess my question is more of like, do you guys feel like the writers are trying to prime us for something that they want that isn't necessarily like organic to what should be happening with the character?
I feel like they're just kind of half-assing it because we're getting a lot of whiplash
yes,
with this character.
That's true.
It's because it's like they're feeding into the people that clearly wanted this during the time, but also trying to somehow hold to the lore that they've built.
Yeah, that's really
so. It's just a lot
right.
of back yep. and forth, and I feel like it's done in a way so that they can kind of like, if they really wanted to, and it's cool to see it from other people's perspective watching it for the first time, because like I was watching people the other day react to season five Spike, and there were a couple times where like you, like after Crush, they thought he was going to be a villain after that, and there was multiple of them.
Yeah,
and I'm like, it could have gone that way. And I think that the way they're doing it is, it like, I feel like back then they were kind of like teetering the line of like, if we wanted him to kind of like do the incel version of like, mm-hmm. Buffy doesn't like me, I'm gonna then become the actual villain that I've been like neutered to be this entire time.
Yeah.
Or we do like a full true enemies to lovers thing, which they could have done better. I'm not like anti the idea of Spike being that version. I'm anti how it goes about. But because I love me an enemies to lovers, it's juicy, it'll hit right. every time, but not when you're degrading and demeaning and sexually assaulting our main lead girly, you know?
Yeah. And that's something we'll talk about obviously a lot in season 6 and 7. I'm not trying to like to stop you or anything.
Yeah.
But that is something that I just want to like say now. I'm not against Spike. I'm kind of going to parrot Leah here. I'm not against Spike and Buffy because I'm like, Angel and Buffy, the only ones and stuff like that. I was really open to Buffy being in a relationship with anybody. Like Robin Wood and Buffy, I think would have been fantastic. But the thing is that the way that they go about it, I think is very antithetical to a show that claims to be feminist. And I've stated why, and we'll continue to talk about it, but it's not because I'm like, oh, can only be Angel for Buffy. It's like, how about just a healthy relationship? That's all I'm
asking
for. And
if Spike had been that version, I think I would have still probably preferred Angel just because that's my type, but I would have been fine if that's what Buffy wanted.
Right.
Like, I think we could be objective with that. But here's the thing. Buffy objectively wants Angel, and I also want Angel.
And
so, like,
Spike knows that Buffy wants Angel.
Everyone knows that.
Yes, everyone knows
that. Season 7, she still said she loved him more than she's loved anything in this life. So, like, that was season 7 during her, like, claimed Spuffy season, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, right. Anyway, all right, we'll shelve Spike for now because next episode's going to be a lot of Spike.
Well, all I was going to say for Spike is I don't think – no, you're fine. I don't think the writers were gearing up Spike and Buffy to be a thing right now. I think what they were doing was gearing up the emotional impact of Buffy dying. So I think that nothing hits harder than someone who loves someone and they died.
Sure.
And so I think, and we really see that. I mean, at the end of season 5, like Spike is.
They really just been so much better than if it ended at season 5. Then, because then it would have been any questions. But like, oh, what if with Spike?
So
you know,
I think that's where they were coming from. Of like, how do we get the most emotional reaction? And I think part of that was having there be some sort of love interest.
Yeah, that's true. That's very, very true. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Dawn. So Dawn, like, going up and stealing the books, I was like, oh, here we have, like, Pyro Dawn again. Or not Pyro. Pyro is a fire person who looks fire. What's the one who likes Klepto? Klepto. My gosh, guys. Need to play Sims again. They have, like, you know, the little Klepto trait that you can pick. Anyway, all right. I was like, you know, this is where Dawn's kleptomania actually comes in handy for the story. And I really wish they would have more organically like inserted that. We also have, so in the body, we have Buffy when she finds her mom. We have the famous mom, mom, mommy. Dawn actually repeats that exact phrase in conversations with dead people when she thinks that Joyce is trying to communicate with her. That's the same episode that Cassie, her ghost, appears to Willow at the library, and Cassie mentions to Willow, strong like an Amazon, which is the same thing that Tara says to Willow in the body when she's trying to get Willow to calm down, as strong like an Amazon, which I love the little nods back to this episode there. Oh, I love conversations with dead people. That's going to be a fun episode to cover. Okay, so we have also the moment where Buffy wax Dawn, or wax, that sounds so bad. She, you know, love taps Dawn at the end of Forever. And I think that's such an interesting choice because when this is going to lead into intervention as well, Buffy fears that she's actually hardened. And her slapping Dawn, I think, is also her thinking, oh, wow, look how hardened I've become. I hit my sister. And this is leading into intervention where she's going to go to the desert and because she fears that she's incapable of love, and we're going to hear death is your gift for the first time. So, ugh, I love that scene. And then I talked about this in the spoiler-free part about how Buffy's not alone. Buffy has Dawn. They have each other. How this episode emphasizes their connection to each other and how Dawn is Buffy's connection to her humanity and that childlike self of hers. And it just clicked for me, but this is why it is so devastating for Buffy in The Weight of the World when Dawn gets kidnapped and Buffy goes completely comatose, because not only does she feel like she's losing herself, she's also losing the one most important person in her life, her connection to humanity, and she feels like she's failed her mom in doing so. And that's when we have that wonderfully juicy episode where Willow goes into Buffy's mind and sees child Buffy. And it's such like a cool like psychological episode. So you can just kind of see them like setting things up here. And then, oh man. So we had that moment in the body where Dawn is talking to that kid. I forget his name. And they're both like drawing the empty space around the body. And she says to him, she goes, yeah, I had some intense stuff going on. A lot of people don't get that pain. And I often wonder why this show didn't lean into Dawn understanding a bit more of Buffy's pain in season 6, because that would have been a wonderful way to use Dawn in that season. I wish the show would have gone into Dawn understanding Buffy a little bit more and them bonding a little bit, even while Buffy is still like going through all the cycle of abuse and stuff. I think that would have just been really wonderful. And I think it's a bummer that we didn't get that. And then, of course, we have several setups for the end of season 5, season 6. I know we kind of talked about it. We have the moment where Buffy has found out her mom has died and is walking through, and she opens the back door and everything's like very bright and very harsh. And I think about when she comes back in season 6 and tells Spike, you know, this world is harsh, this world is bright. And every time I see that moment, I kind of just get that feeling of like when you just don't want to be here anymore, when everything is just so hard. And then talking about Anya, so I've really been loving the subtle character development and growth they've been having with Anya, and like the little mini arc that she's been having about how she's like afraid about her mortality. So originally in The Gift, Anya was supposed to push Xander out of the way from the rubble in The Gift to save his life, and then she was supposed to have died in one of the original drafts of The Gift. And you can kind of see them leading up to that in Anya's monologue in The Body about mortality and how she's just doesn't understand it. And I think that they are still planning for that at this point in the season. And I think that the speech of Anya's is more meaningful when you think about her willingness to sacrifice herself for Andrew in season 7 and her fear of mortality and becoming unlovable and unattractive to Xander and once more with feelings. So Anya's a character like Tara that I've never really paid a lot of attention to. And in this rewatch, it's been really like exciting to kind of see all the little breadcrumbs that they're releasing for her.
I paid attention to Anya, and that's why season 7 Anya pisses me the frick off. Because yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Okay, I actually don't want to talk about another character in season 7, but like she just doesn't make any she does make sense, but the way she they chose sense. She does make sense. I retract what I said. She it's does make sense. It's an
unfortunate choice.
But it's yes, but it's like why did they choose to make her go that route? I don't want to talk about that actually.
Season 7, we're going to be raging, guys. It's going to be so much fun. Come join us. We're going to be very angry all the time. And then another kind of like another foreshadowing. So we have Dawn and Spike trying to raise Joyce from the dead. They don't bother to dig up her coffin. So this implies that Joyce also had to get herself out, which we know that in bargaining, the Scoobies forget to help Buffy get out of the coffin, leaving her to dig herself out of her own grave, which clearly this is not something that they like. Everyone's like, how did the Scoobies just not think about this? I was like, well, they already did not think about it in season 5, so this is kind of on brand for them, honestly. And then the last thing in this section is this episode really is actually really pivotal in setting up season 6. Not only does it display why resurrecting someone is not a good idea, and it sets up us to think that Buffy comes back wrong in season 6. It's also the first instance where we see, you know, Willow crossing that line. And it also makes a lot of sense why Dawn and Spike were not a part of the group's decision in bringing back Buffy, since both of them were privy to what happens like when you try. Because I think, and they even like talk about this in bargaining, Spike 100% would have stopped them from trying to bring Buffy back from the dead. And I wonder if Dawn would have too, based upon the stuff that happens in this episode. The only odd thing is Tara being on board with it. When you think about how against resurrection Tara is in this episode in The Body versus, or in Forever versus in bargaining, it's a little odd that Tara is like okay with it. And that's something that I think is going to be interesting to explore and talk about once we get there as well. And then a couple last few things. So during the resurrection spell, Dawn calls on Osiris. In bargaining, Willow actually summons Osiris to resurrect Buffy. And when Tara dies, she calls on Osiris again in villains. So they have a common theme of calling on that one god for resurrection. And then again, just talking about how amazing Tara is, how sweet and kind Tara is to Buffy in the body is why Buffy comes to her in season six. Because what Tara is describing is how Buffy feels coming back from the grave. This idea that thoughts that made me feel like I was losing it or like I was just a horrible person. I know it's different for you because it's always different. But if you ever need, like Tara is telling her that like, I understand what you're feeling. And Buffy also feels those things in season six. And I love that we have that kind of little tie-in when we get to that part where Buffy's just like at her wit's end and is like, I think there's something wrong with me. And then I hate to break everybody's heart, and I have not verified this. I don't know if this is actually true or whatever, but IMDb says that the blue sweater that Willow wants to wear to the morgue that she's looking for everywhere in the body but cannot find is the same sweater that Tara is wearing when she is killed in season six.
Oh.
Yeah. Fans well,
that's
have
sad. Okay.
And I don't know if it is or not. They definitely are both blue sweaters.
Believe it or not, I could have lived without that fact, actually.
No, so you had like, to know
fun
that.
Fact.
Yeah, fun fact, guys. So yeah, I don't know if that's actually verified or not. IMDb says it. Sometimes IMDb is wrong, but we will leave that up to your guys' own interpretations. Okay.
No.
I feel like that's a horrible way to end that. I don't know why I put that one at the end.
I know. Fun fact.
Sorry. Sorry. All right, guys, that was everything for The Body and Forever. I'm excited for next week's with Intervention. There's going to be a lot for us to talk about. And guys, can you believe it? We are at like the final couple of episodes. Like we're at the tail end of season five already. Like it's just mind blowing to me.
Crazy.
Yep. All right, guys, let us know your thoughts for The Body, for Forever. As always, you guys can find us on Instagram, TikTok, Tumblr, and YouTube at Becoming Buffy Podcast. You can email us at becomingbuffypodcast@gmail.com. And special shout out and thank you to our producers, Christine, CJ, Paul, Kashan, Kate, and Omri. Thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you guys next time.